Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. It's lesson four. We are kicking off day one here, just having left Peter and John, and they've added 3,000 more followers, and we are moving right forward with the next part of this study. I'm really excited about the study coming up. Lesson four has been great. Do I say that every time I start a study? I think I do. Anyway, it's going to be a good one. And for those of you who are joining the study for the first time, welcome. Really glad that you're here. I know some of you are just jumping in to kind of check it out and see if it's something you're going to enjoy. Don't forget to hop over to my website, jennifergrichmond.com. You'll see the Dwelling Richly Bible Studies there. You can click and open this PDF. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But you can click over there and download the study, view it on your phone, your computer, your tablet, or just print it off, you know, old school, and fill it in as you go there. So this lesson four, is going to take us from Acts chapter four. And let's see, we left off with the healing of the lame man in middle of chapter 4, verse 22. We're picking up at 23, and good stuff is coming. We're going to go all the way through the rest of 4 and then to the end of chapter 5 in the next 10 lessons. It's going to be great. All right, I'm going to hop over here. And hi to you who are over on Facebook, and hi, those of you who are watching right now on YouTube as well. It's nice to be here live with you guys and be able to engage. Let me switch screens, kind of fuss around with this a bit. Ta-da! Hi. Hopefully you can see that okay. Like I said a minute ago, you're able to go onto my, ooh, got something in my eye. You're able to go on my website and download these studies for free. Just print them off right there or use your computer and enjoy them there, and then makes it kind of fun and nice and easy for you to write it and join me there. Let me move my head down so I can see the top of the page. And I know some of you are listening right now over on the podcast. Hi to you who are listening there. It's nice to have you guys along as well. As always, it's great to hear from you. So don't forget to leave a comment if you're listening to any of these videos. It's nice for me to be able to engage, especially those of you who are here right now with me live. We can say hi to each other. We can talk and we can, you know, check in and ask questions, and I'll try to be good about getting back to you and replying to those as I see them. Sometimes I don't look down and check it out, but make sure you say hi. Let me know that you're here listening, Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is. All right, here we go. Lesson four, I've got my Bible here, and we're in day one. Day one's always an overview. We just get a big, broad view of the lesson together. And if you haven't already at least listened to the talks from the previous lessons, I'd encourage you to do that. Hop over to my podcast. I don't put those ones up. I try to get them up on YouTube every now and then if I can, but you can for sure count on them being on my podcast. You can just listen along there. So go to my website, jennifergrichmond.com, like I said earlier, and you'll be able to listen to the audio message for the first talks. And that'll give you a great overview, because each one of those messages covers the entire all of the passages that we were studying the week before. So if you're jumping in with us right now, really recommend you find some time to do that later on today or tomorrow. All right, here we go. Lesson four, day one. You can see it up here on the screen. Our memorization verse, which we will write in this box every day of this lesson, is Acts 5:29. And then the way the lessons are organized is we read the word, write, meditate, and all of this is part of dwelling in the word. And then the final day of our study is called create and share. And that's an opportunity for us to think about what we've been learning throughout this lesson and bring that together in something that we can create and then take the time to share it. So we are memorizing Acts 5:29. I'll read that to you in a minute. And then we write each time we go through the word as well. And so the write the word pages, let's see if this, will this click? I can't remember if I let this, I think I removed the clicky part of it, where it clicks down to the page. Let me just scroll really fast. We actually have a short message, so I only gave you the one page because we're going to be writing Acts 4:23 to 31. So I just gave you the one page. But turn to the back of your packet, and you will see the blank page for you to actually write out the scripture. And some of you, that's been an ongoing practice that you've been doing throughout all of the Dwelling Richly Bible Studies, and you've got all of the book of Ruth written now, and Esther, and we've written, what else have we done? Hebrews together, and I believe Ephesians we've written. Our goal is to literally, by the time we're done with all of the dwelling richly studies, our first pass, well, it'll be quite an accomplishment, because we will have written, in theory, the entire Bible handwritten out. So pretty exciting. And some of you are well on your way to doing that. So good job. All right. So we'll write a verse a day. And this one's not too much to write because it's a short passage. And then the reading portion will always be up here. All right. Let's go ahead and open up our scripture so we can see that we're memorizing Acts 5:29, and we want to write that down. So I use Bible Gateway. I've talked to you about this before. A great, great resource. Did I log in? Yeah, so I'm logged in, and I go ahead and pay for it so I don't have as many advertisements on the side. What's nice, as you've seen me mention before, is that you can click the screen here and open up and reveal up to 5 parallel Bible versions at a time. So I have the English Standard, which is what we'll be doing this study out of. Here's the New International Christian Standard, and you can just select whichever one you want and with whatever language you want. It'll keep on clicking that bar here, and it will open up 5 at a time. So I'm going to diminish those back down. We don't need to have those all up right now. And there we go. Click. All right, let's go ahead over to Acts 5:29. I'm going to highlight it so it always shows up whenever I open the scripture. And here it is, short and sweet. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." There it is. I hope that's something that we can memorize really easily and apply that in our life. That should be our goal as well. I'm going to obey God, not man. And I'm going to pray for the discernment to know the difference, because it can get blurred if we're listening to teaching and we're reading articles and different things. Like, we need to know what is actually God's word and you know, make sure we're discerning well on that. So we're going to obey God and not man. And then our written portion of this study is actually going to come from a prayer. So I'll read the intro for you so you can get the idea. We're writing our way through the sermons and prayers in Acts. In this lesson, you'll write the prayer in Acts 4:23 to 31. Check the right note for the day's writing. There's the right note. We already checked it. Good job. All right. So here we go. Welcome to lesson 4. Day 1 of every lesson is always set aside to read the passage you'll be studying for the next 10 days. Many clever folks have developed tools to help people study the Bible in a systematic way. There is the REAP method, R-E-A-P, the SOAP method, the idea, power, and even the Apple methods. Depending on the genre of scripture you're studying, any one of these methods can be very helpful. Today, we're going to use the probe method. It's a simple approach that I've developed and that you can easily recall, P-R-O-B-E, probe. So P for pray. Pray for wisdom and understanding and for God to guard your heart from error and lead you to truth. R for read. Read the word, the whole word and nothing but the word. No commentaries, just read through the entire passage for that day. Save the commentaries for clarification at another time. And as I've said before in Bible study, don't just read one commentary, read 5. Because commentary are the opinions of man, and we want to make sure that we're keeping them in balance and checking them out with one another and praying that God will give us discernment to understand. So read, and your reading should be focused on the word. And commentaries, by the way, also include the study notes that are in many of our Bibles. That's why I've encouraged you, I'm gonna hold it up to the camera here because I know some of you are joining me new today. I've encouraged you to purchase a Bible that looks like this, that has wide margins that you can take your own notes in. So my Bible only is just scripture, and then it has references, cross-references to help scripture talk about scripture, but there's no commentary in this Bible. I'd encourage that. I own several commentary study Bibles. Those are fabulous, super helpful. But for you getting into the word and just studying, just use the word. O for observe. All right, so note the essential and straightforward details. Observe that. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Include emotional tone, motivation, overall situation going on. Be a detective. You're going to observe. And as you're reading through, you're going to be back like you're in school, like you're a kid again, and your teachers are reminding you about the who, what, when, where, and why, and including that in your understanding, your basic comprehension. And then also, and not only that, but those basics, but things like grammar basics, like the verbs you're seeing, nouns, pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, conjunctions, prepositions, those are helpful, especially pay attention to verbs, because those move the narrative along, in particular, since we are in a narrative, historical narrative here in Acts. So observe, P-R-O-B. All right, so B is double B, actually. It's back and build. So we want to think back to what we know to be true about God, the people in this message, and build on that knowledge to help you understand. In other words, we go back to where the context of where it was written, when it was written, to whom it was written. We go back there. We don't stand here in the present day and read the Bible from this moment and put all of our sensibilities, all of our cultural expectations, all of our ways of thinking, even our Americanisms, Western thought and things like that. We go back, we know to whom it was written, we know what we know to be true about God and about the people of the time, and then we build from there. So back and build, and then E. E is for expand and embrace. Expand and see the big picture of what God is doing, all right? So we don't just, you know, read word for word. That's the part of the observe. We don't just do that. We're getting into all those details. We back it out. We expand our view. That's why the cross references are very helpful, because cross references will get you to expand back to the Old Testament, forward in the New, other things that connect to the passage that you're reading. So expand and then embrace. Embrace how it points to Jesus, and embrace that truth, that command, that promise as it applies to your life today. Be careful on this one, because we don't. Not every promise was written in the Word is given to you. Some of them you can apply to you because they're general principles about who God is. But many of the promises were very specific to specific people in specific times. So we want to be careful as we're reading. So there we go. Probe. P-R-O-B-E. Hopefully that will help you to remember to pray, to read, to observe, to build, back and build, and to embrace and expand. So write those down, put them in a bookmark, help you remember as you're reading, are you doing those things? I think if you apply that to any book of the Bible, I tried to write one, a method that would apply to any book of the Bible that you could be studying, from Acts to Psalms to Genesis to Ephesians, all these different genres. The probe method, I think, will help no matter what book of the Bible you're reading. Okay, so we're going to use that probe method, and we are going to note our thoughts and responses to each of the passages below. Now, pray and read don't need to be on the chart, because we're going to do that in our head, in our mind, in our heart. Pray and read, we're just going to read. And then we're going to go for the OBE part, the observe, back build, and expand and embrace. All right, let's go ahead and pray and jump into the study. Get your Bible, get your notes, and let's do that together. Leave me a comment as you're listening right now. Hi, live again on Facebook over there and over here on YouTube. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you're thinking. And as we move through this, any observations you have, drop those comments in. I won't be able to necessarily reply right away. I'll try my best. And then, but later on, I can come back to the comments and see them. So don't forget to leave a comment and get your thought process going as we're going through this study together. All right, let's pray and get into the Word. Here we go. Just imagine us joining hands together and praying together right now. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for our time together today as we begin this new study. Lesson 4, I ask that you would bless our time together. Help us to really see you and to draw closer to each other, even if we can't really be together. I pray that you would help us to draw closer together in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go for it. So I've divided it up for you, and I just use the divisions actually that the ESV uses. So yours might be slightly different. You're welcome to make adjustments in those verse divisions if you want. I just went through my ESV and chunked it out in that way. So here we go. Acts 4, 23 to 31. We're going to observe, go back and build, and embrace and expand. So let's go ahead up to our passage and read there. So when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed.'" For truly, I want to make sure I don't read too far. I didn't make it up to 31. I got to make sure I don't pass that. I can just imagine reading and reading and reading and then getting too far. People's plot in vain, Lord's anointed. Okay, here we go. Verse 27. I'll back over there. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. All right. So going through our method here, we want to observe. So just let's get some basics down observation-wise of what's going on in this passage. And that's going to be who, what, when, where, and why, and how, and so on like that. All right, so when they were released, whenever you see a pronoun, don't just like, oh, they, think who's the they? who are the they that were released? Who does this pronoun refer to? So this is, if you go back, this is Peter and John who have been in prison from before. So when they were released, they went to their friends. There's another who. And they reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So there's another, some more who. And that's what observe is. It's just who, what, when, where, why, emotional tone. Just give me some basic details of that. And then when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. And let's see, I don't think I have it handy, but I've told you about the pen that I use, or the pencil that I use. It has the multiple colors in it. I use blue whenever anything mentions God or the Holy Spirit. I use brown when people or people groups are mentioned, green for places. And so use a color coding to kind of help you. That way you can glance at it quickly. I'm going to hop back over to the verse so you can see it. All right. So here's people in the city. All right. And then remember, they're praying. That's what this isn't just conversation, is praying. So they're talking to God, and through the mouth of the Father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? So he's mentioning the kings, this psalm of David from back when David wrote. And he's talking about this city. For truly in this city we're gathered together. And what is the city? Well, it's Jerusalem. They were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus. Write that down. You're anointed. And then we have Herod and Pilate mentioned there. The Gentiles, the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan predestined to take place. This is a key aspect of what we see oftentimes coming up in Acts, is Luke, Peter, Paul coming up in a few chapters are going to be really making emphasis on God and his sovereignty. And here's another point of it: to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, continuing the prayer, and look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, that place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God in boldness, with boldness. All right. Wow. Okay. So going back to our model here, we made our observations. We want to go back. We want to make sure we know where we are. We're in Jerusalem. We want to build from there. And I tried to talk you through that as I was speaking just now, that we're hearing themes of God's sovereignty. We're hearing themes of the historical precedence of King David and his prophecy about his own times and about the times to come. And then we want to expand and embrace. So we want to open up that scripture and really think about, what does that remind me of? And what other verses are coming to my mind? And those of you who are listening live right now, just jot that down. Write, give me some comments on that as you're writing them into your space there. And then, is there something in this passage that you need to embrace in your own life? And maybe you're reading this and you're thinking about the power of prayer and the style of prayer and how they're praying. And you're thinking, gosh, this is how they prayed. Is that how I pray? So these are the types of things that your thought process should be going through, kind of generating as you're reading using that method. Okay, so let's go ahead and do the next chunk, which is Acts 4, 32 through 37. Let me get that back on the screen here for you. All right, so there's just a shorter chunk here. So the full number of those who believed, so I'm just going to kind of, we're going to work through it as we go. I'm not going to go back and forth. I can't really do a split screen for some reason on this. So we're going to observe as we go. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. They had everything in common, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So you've got the apostles, you've got all this group of people who believe, and that's under observe. No one was needy, not a needy person among them, as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one as any had need. Thus Joseph, what, there's a name, stick him over there under observe. He's also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Good details, a Levite, native of Cyprus. Under observe here, as time permits, you might even find some of this information on a map. Where is Cyprus? Go look for it. We'll talk a little bit more when we get into this passage later. But he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So on our back and build portion, is there anything you know from the backstory of this already? What do you know already? Are you familiar with Barnabas, Levites, what that means? And then building from there, what do we see? Do we see a precedent being set here about how the church behaves and how there are one heart and one soul? What about on your expand and embrace portion? What do we see that speaks true about God, and what do I need to personally embrace in my life? And what do I see coming out of this guy named Joseph, whose nickname is Barnabas? All right. Jot down your thoughts. It's hard for me to kind of find that fine line of talking through the Bible study with you, but not giving you like every single thing that's in my brain, because that's why I wrote the Bible study, because you're going to get everything that's in my little brain in the next few days. But I want to hear what's in yours. That's why we have this moment here together. All right. So 5:1-11, but a man named Ananias. All right. So right away, part of observing is, like I mentioned earlier, grammar. And I see an important conjunction here, but. So a great tool, and I'm going to talk about this multiple times in this Bible study coming up, but a great method or tool for you to help learn and connect is with conjunctions, draw a box around that conjunction, but it's setting something apart. Okay, so we've got a but happening. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, write those down in your name. In your observation box there, sell a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge, kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it to and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we're seeing some repeated phrases, because remember apostles' feet laying it, that was happened in the previous passage. And here's Peter again, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And Ananias heard these words. He fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And I totally forgot what verse we're stopping at. I don't want to read too far. 11. All right. After about an interval of 3 hours, so who, what, when. So when is time. So we have 3 hours is timeline here. His wife comes in, here, Sapphira, not knowing what had happened. And Peter says to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it you've agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And when the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Yikes. All right. So we do our observation and we go back and build. Are you familiar with any other stories in the Bible that this resonates? Do you like, wow, has it ever happened before in the Bible? Or I don't recall, or I look in my margins and I see. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. Yeah, that's happened before. God has struck down people dead before. And so use the margins in your Bible, make note of it. And as time permits, hop back over there and I'll give you a couple. I'll give you one. Go look up Achan in the Bible, A-C-H-A-N. I believe it's in Joshua, probably. Might even just say it right here in my margin. But go look him up. God struck him dead, and the circumstances around that are quite fascinating. Building from that, is there any precedent that we should be aware of for the church today, for our personal lives, and expand and embrace? So Expanding on that, building on what we know and expanding further on that to the church today and how we should be living. And is there anything in that that I need to be embracing in my own life? I hope not, to be honest. I guess I can learn from the negative example, but I certainly don't want to be in the party of Ananias and Sapphira. All right, 12 through 16, here we go. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the street and laid them on cots and mats. And as Peter came by, at least a shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. All right, so we make our observations here. Who, what, when, where? We see an important where. Solomon's portico. Highlight that. Mark that in your Bible. And then we see a multitudes of both, Luke says, both men and women were added to their congregation there. Peter mentioned again, Jerusalem here. We have sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, so demonic possession being involved here, and they were all healed. All of them were healed. That's powerful. Wow. And then we've got this whole shadow thing going on with Peter, right? So make your observations right there and then move over to back and build. So is there any precedent that you see, anything in the backstory of this? We've heard of Solomon's portico before. You might be, oh yeah, Solomon's portico is coming up again. All right. And then build from there. Is anything new happening? Is there anything that you can build on in the past that seems to be growing? Well, clearly their congregation is growing right there. And in spite of what's happened to Ananias and Sapphira, the congregation is growing. All right. And then we're going to go to expand and embrace our E of probe. So anything in here that you want to expand on or embrace in your own personal life? Is there anything that you see here that you want to learn more about? You want to open up and get a bigger picture on? And then is there anything in there here that you need to embrace in your own life today as you're reading it? Stop and think. It's always challenging for me to do this big open first day because I want to just park it here and read all this, but I know that's what's going to happen in the next several days coming up. So right now we just get this kind of Speedy Gonzales approach. So we cover the entire thing and then we'll go back through and zoom in and get a little tighter view. All right, let's take our next chunk. And that is 17 through 26. But the priest, and there's that word again, draw a box around it. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is, party of the Sadducees. So observe, high priest, party of the Sadducees. They were filled with jealousy. Here's emotional tone. They arrested the apostles, put them in public prison, not just prison, but this public holding cell. During the night, angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. What? An angel appears? Have we had an angel appear yet in Acts? No, we have not. That's a big deal. I mean, we have the ascension and the men, angels appeared then, but since the Holy Spirit has come, no, nothing. This is pretty cool. Highlight that. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. So awesome. All right, so the angel comes and we gets them out of prison. And now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Sorry, I just imagine the whole scene in my head. Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple. They're teaching the people. And then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. So observe. I see emotion in this passage. I see people named. I see an angel introduced. And go back and build from this or anything that from the past that you recognize from scripture that you can that you go back to as a precedent? Do angels, have angels come before and done anything like this? What do you see in the backstory of this? All right. And then we're going to build from this. Is there anything that you're anticipating coming forward? Is this going anywhere? What are we going to build from this point? And then we want our expand and embrace moment. Okay. So get back out, get the big picture. What's happening? Do you see the hand? We've been talking about the sovereignty of God, the hand of God. Yes, we see all of that happening. All right. And then do we need to embrace anything? Is there anything? Is there a truth here? Is there a concept here that you are unsure of, that you need to embrace for yourself, what you believe, and get more information? That's the embrace part. Write that down and don't forget to share it also as you're listening right now to the video or the podcast. All right, here we go. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, and here's our memory verse, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And I think that's the end of this chunk, right? 32? Yeah. All right. So make our observations here. We've got them before the council. Peter's reminding them again that they killed Jesus and that they are witnesses to these things, but also we have the Holy Spirit mentioned here. In fact, I think it's very interesting that we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God all mentioned here in the same passage, the Trinity, to get Trinity together. All right, back in build. And what is some information that you already know about these things? What can you build on from there? And then how can you expand this out? How can you take the bird's eye view and look back and look over all of this and see what's happening? Because obviously we know the end of the book. We've read this. Maybe you have some understanding here you want to share even on this video right now. And then embrace. Is there a truth here that's poking at your heart that you think, oh yeah, that's right. That's something I need to be mindful of. And maybe it really just is our memory verse. We must obey God rather than men. All right, here's our final chunk for today. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed with him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if his plan is this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. When they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. I know there's a lot there. I'm really glad this isn't just it. I'm glad we have, we actually are going to take 2 days for this passage when it comes to the end of our study. So get ready for that. But we've got some great who to be involved. A new guy, Gamaliel, write him down. A couple other guys, Theudas, not 100% sure how to pronounce that. You might have noticed. Who knows? I'll pronounce it differently next time. This guy, Theudas. And then Judas, not Judas the betrayer, but Judas the Galilean rose up. So write them, there's your who. This is Gamaliel reporting some history, and he gives us advice. So there's your basics observation. Do they heed the advice? What do they end up doing about that? Write that down. Back in build. Are you familiar with anything that's being mentioned here? Have you heard of anything like words like Pharisee or Gamaliel? And then any other words or phrases that you're looking at going, that sounds familiar. For example, a Galilean rose up when, what's the when here? And that should have been written in your observe portion, in the days of the census. What else happened in the days of the census? I'm going to highlight that because we will come back to that later. All right. So cool, right? Hopefully you're triggering some thoughts in your mind. The more you study the Bible, the more the connections that you will make. All right. And then expand and embrace. What here in our study today, our time together today, and I'll just close the screen out. Maybe you need some time to think more on this. It's a lot to cover in one big day, a big portion like this. Hopefully you've been able to digest it as you've been going through. And maybe you need to sit and pray, God, what do you have to teach me in this study today? So thank you for being here with me. I'm glad that we can share this time together. Don't forget to say hi. Leave a comment. Let me know that you are listening. It's always great to be with you. When I see your name pop up, I know I get this reminder because I get notifications when people leave a comment. And I'm like, oh, great. And I pause and pray by name for anyone who leaves a comment, whether it's live right now or later on if you're watching this video later. All right. Thank you for being here with me on the podcast and on our videos. And whether you're joining me live or you're watching the recording, know as always, you are loved and prayed for. I'll see you real soon. Bye-bye for now.